Welcome to Working Musicians, a feature of theworkingmusician.com. My name is Roger Z. I'm your host. My special guest in the studio today, Mike Torres. Band leader, fantastic vocalist, great guitar player, a survivor.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, and thank you for sponsoring such a kind of show like this is.
Live music is disappearing.
That's true.
There's a lot of competition for the entertainment dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think I first became aware of you through the New York Blues and Jazz Society.
Probably, yes.
Nicky Armstrong, Bob Pugnano.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I remember listening to your CD. I remember seeing you playing a showcase down at the Bitter End.
Was that the competition, the blues
yes.
competition that year? We came in second that year.
But you were awesome. I remember it.
Thank you very much.
And I know right now you're super excited because you have what many would consider a dream gig.
Yes, pretty much. I've some friends of mine and some band leaders that I've worked for in the past. We are going to Tortola in the British Virgin Islands. And we're going to have a bit of fun. It'll be my second time back. But this time it's 14 days and 15 gigs. It's a lot of work. We've been in rehearsal for several months, and I love it. I love being well rehearsed with a great band. John Adams is a great band leader and worked for the Apollo Theater for many years and Fox Television. So it's kind of nice to kind of sit back and be made to feel comfortable and just be a guitar player, not a band leader. Let them make the decisions. I'll take care of the guitar.
That's awesome. How big is the band?
Right now, it's a quintet of four instruments and one vocalist.
Male, female vocalist?
Female vocalist.
Right. So it's the typical 4+1.
Yes, but we do a lot of instrumental stuff, so the vocalist is not a main feature, but like any woman that goes out on stage becomes the immediate focal point, and she's wonderful at what she does. And we have good vocals, and we're being joined in the last two shows at the Cane Bay Festival. On the main island by Onaji Alan Gums, who among his credits was playing with Kenny Burrell. So I'm dying to... We're going to start rehearsals with him just before we leave on the 9th. We'll start then.
I do a Kenny Burrell tune, but yeah. the Stevie Ray version of it,
mm-hmm.
Chili Con Carne.
Yes, yes.
Was the
really?
Burrell.
You know, I wasn't even aware of that. That's true. I'm going to have to go back and listen to that.
And Stevie did a version of it on his posthumous album. He calls it Chitlins Con Carne.
That's, that one I remember.
And he leaves the jazz chords out.
Oh, of course.
So,
of course. Wow.
That's the one I... man, I'm sure you do the one with the substitution.
Maybe. It's been years.
Now, you're talking about 15 shows in 14 days?
Yes, we have... there's two main events on the island, the festivals. One is the Cane Bay, which is the last 3 days. I think it's the 24th, 25th, to 26th, I think. And we're in one of those days. It escapes me now, probably the last day. And also there's an engagement at the Virgin Gorda Jazz on the Hill. And 2 years ago, we opened up for Bobby Humphrey, the jazz flautist.
Sure.
So that was a lot of fun. This time, we're going back under our own flag, and we're going to be one of the features. And that's going to be a lot of fun. The name of the group is called In the Light, and they're at inthelight.com. We are inthelight.com.
Awesome. Sounds like a dream gig.
Well, the location is something that the rest of it is what we do. We always want to work. We always want to put out good music. And the vast portion of it is original. So it's nice to see the compositions come to life with other musicians.
Some of your compositions are on this
For the
gig?
Main shows, I don't believe so. I think for the main shows, it's mostly John Adams and Onaji Alan Gums material. But for the gigs around town, there were going to be a couple of tunes of mine. One is a Calypso song called Andre, and another one is called The Best That I Can, kind of funky blues tune. But for the main shows, it's pretty much a jazz thing, and to keep the concept together, John, you know, he's got a handle on it, and the material's demanding and very nice, and it's good stuff.
Why don't you grab your guitar and play us one of your compositions?
Sure, I'd love to.
Thank you.
How about a blues tune?
Sure.
Oh, there you one got second. Oh, there it is.
Wrong place to plug it in. Yeah, my guitar teacher would love to see that one.
Okay.
This is a song called 60 Days. It's about a conversation between a musician and a judge. I think you'll like this one. Yes, to your honor, I was there last night. I tell your story was no fair fight. See here, young man, better cop a plea. Judge, what you doing to me? I don't want 60 days. That's my personal view. Don't want 60 days. Not for singing the blues. Says right here that when you left the stage, you were with a girl of a certain age. Well, she winked at me when I was about to go. Did was stop and say hello. I don't want 60 days. That's my personal view. Don't want 60 days. Not for singing the blues. Someone grabbed me, judge, and I ain't lying. Got him off me without even trying. I wanna leave, but before I know, they slapped the cuffs on me and said, son, let's go, you've got 60 days. That's a personal view. You'll get 60 days, you'll be singing the blues. Just ain't fair about that girl. Well, I just don't care. That girl's my daughter, and I have to say, guilty as charged, take this man away. You've got 60 days. That's the judge's view. You've got 60 days. Now you're singing the blues.
Nice job. You play with a ferocity, which I appreciate.
Yeah, well, there's certain reasons for that, and I thank you for noticing. Appreciate it.
What is the reason for your ferocity?
Well, it was a time when I couldn't play. And when you have something so dear to you, let's say I wanted to play ever since I was a little boy, since I was 8 years old. When you have that taken away from you at age 40, 49, somewhere in there, and you don't expect to get it back, when you do get it back, it's, I guess, since I don't have any children, I would imagine it's like finding your child that's lost. You think for a minute they're gone forever, something's happened to them. And the way the child gets hugged, that moment is kind of what I feel every time I pick up the guitar. I'm very fortunate. I'm very blessed.
Now, we're talking about the reconstructive surgery you had on your right hand.
Yes, that's true. And it ran right across my my technique as a musician, because I Travis pick and almost lost this portion of my hand.
How did it happen?
A freight elevator accident at a gig in Pennsylvania.
At a gig?
Yep. Loading in on a gig.
Now, do you get any disability or anything?
It was a settlement, and as if you talk to most lawyers, a lot of lawyers say you may or may not want to try anything in the state of Pennsylvania, because the laws are very strange and there's little loopholes and stuff. So,
so you work out a deal that's better than going to trial.
Yes, pretty much. But in terms of justice, I don't think so. And I'm not being sour grapes or anything. I deal with this every day. you know, a one lump sum is not going to take care of something like that. So,
all right, well, let's take that ferocity and apply it to your next song.
Okay. Actually, this is a song that I wrote when I was about 17. I was in the draft in the Vietnam War. During the Vietnam War, I'm not... I'm one of the old guys. Melvin Sparks called me one of the young old cats. the bottom line was there's a young man named P.J. Conroy, and I knew his brother. And P.J. was lost his life early in the war. And we all grew up together. His brother, Bill, was a friend of mine, and his brother was lost early on when they called him advisors. And I wrote this song... really early on, I'm talking 65, 66. And I actually wrote a song. I had been playing at least a couple of years professionally. I started playing when I was 15 in front of people, playing surf music and things like that, and Wipeout and Pipeline and Walk, Don't Run and all that stuff, playing rhythm guitar. I'm sure you were there.
I still play Wipeout.
Yeah.
People love that song.
I would like to go back for Walk, Don't Run. That's a great tune, too.
That's one of the first songs I learned on guitar.
Really? The first song I learned to play, I think, was 5'2", Eyes of Blue. I had a chord book. Has anybody seen my girl? It's
from South Pacific.
I don't know. Or was it for maybe one of those... it might have been from the St. Louis Fair or something like that.
Could have been
one of those. At any rate, that's, you know, out of a chord book. That kind of stuff.
Sure.
So, this is a tune that I wrote a while back, so let me play it for you. It's called He's Gone. This ain't my kind of fight. He wanted to grow older and lie in sleep one night, but they brought him in a pine box from some place called Penang, saluting him with gunshots while they shook his father's hand. And they said he was a fine boy, but that don't mean a damn, 'cause he's gone.
Gone, 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 Nice. I kept hearing "Gone, Gone to Vietnam."
Oh, please, please! I remember when I got my draft card, and then I got the number came up, and we were dancing in the street. The girl I was going out with at the time in college—that was something else. 252. I was very lucky.
Yeah, I got a number, and I was about to go when they ended it.
Ah, lucky you, lucky you.
Yeah, those were times when they actually showed the bodies coming off the planes.
That's
unlike
true.
Now, when
that's
they
true.
Hide everything.
Yes, that's true, that's true. And I just started pulling this song out again because of that. I played it for somebody, I can't remember who, but they said, you know, that's... Believe it or not, it's come around full circle, and you should play it. People should hear it. So.
Now, you got one more for us?
Sure.
You want to switch guitars, or?
No, actually, thinking about it, I think I want to switch styles.
All right.
It was kind of bluesy, kind of rocky kind of thing. I do a lot of finger-picking stuff. I'm bringing the hand back, doing a lot of Simon and Garfunkel material just for exercise. You get those influences in you, and I always listened to that kind of stuff, always enjoyed it, but never ever played it. And because of therapy and things of that, I played it so long. Let me play you a song. This is called "It's So Nice to Be Loved," and I send this out to a very special person out there. To lie in bed at night when the warm one next to you spoons so light, and her voice in the morning when she says her first hello. If there's something better, let me know. Her heart's so big that the full moon would be jealous. Now I can tell myself each night. It's so nice. It's so nice. It's so nice to be loved. Oh, she makes me a rich man, though I haven't got a dime. I've forgotten what it feels like for some time. And she helps me remember what it's like when someone cares. If I turn a corner, she'll be there. It's not right to live alone and lonely. Maybe it's the only truth I know. Much taller, so they say. I try to hide every flaw and every weakness. She accepted all with sweetness like a saint. It's so nice. It's so nice. It's so nice, so nice to be loved.
And who do you want to dedicate that to?
Oh, she knows who she is. She knows who she is.
Yeah, smart.
Well, smart, she's on her way, and she's a recording artist now, and it's good that she's on her way. And whenever she sees something like this or hears something, when she gets a chance to see me perform, I like to honor her, and the way things are, by playing a song that's hers. This one belongs to her, not me. So
you obviously have listened to a lot of different type of music. I mean, we've got the folk styling, we've got the blues styling, we've got the jazz styling.
Mm-hmm.
I saw you play downtown on Bleecker Street during the blues revival, maybe 5 or 6 years, where everybody was doing blues.
That's true.
But you were always more than just the blues to me. I could hear. I'm saying it in a good way.
I thank you. It's nice to be listened to and understood. A lot of people don't understand things like that. The influences. It's not so much that I'm. It's more than the blues. Blues has always been a starting place for me. The first blues song I ever learned was "Got My Eye on You" by Buddy Guy, and I thought that was the greatest stuff. I mean, he didn't play like everybody else, and that kind of led me. I wasn't one of those guys who could pick up everybody's riffs perfectly, and so by listening to someone who was free and open, and perhaps didn't sound like everyone else, it allowed me to be free and open and not sound like everybody else, to speak with my own voice. And then my teachers later on, I was lucky enough to deal with professional musicians who helped me do that also. They didn't teach me, you do this, or you play with arpeggios. You, as a jazz guy, you find what works for you and your own means of interpretation. I also teach, and that's what I teach also. You have your... the right to be creative, and that nurtures the soul.
You teach guitar, bass, or
I teach guitar from the aspect of improvisation. If there's chord changes on a piece of sheet music, and there's no solo written, what do you play? What are the decisions you make? And I teach those things, and how to get those things, And actually, a big part of that is how you let your mind command your hands, the physiology. And that played right into my injury, too. Because I went back and I did everything that I did as a 20-year-old student who became a teacher in the next semester. Everything that I did to relearn how to play the instrument. And it served me so well, I just feel like I'm passing it on rather than teaching. So it's a good thing.
Something that I only recently learned is, for me, the first step in soloing is try to play the melody on the changes. I mean, that's the way improvising really started with classical music. It was variations.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's very true.
A matter of fact, it's funny. I recently got a whole bunch of Bach music, and I read a little in the booklet, and the reason that he has come down and it's so popular is because in the day, most of those guys only wrote the melodies and did not write the full arrangements and assumed that everyone knew how to improvise and would improvise it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so anal that he wrote out 7-part harmony, which no one else did.
A true composer.
Right, but that's why he survived. Anyway, cutting to the quick, 3 CDs you would take to a desert island.
3 CDs. Okay. I would probably take Band of Gypsies or Axis Bold of Love by Jimi Hendrix. Those show two things, two sides of him. One is when he went with Buddy Miles, he got a funkier sound, went back to his roots, perhaps from the early days. And I used to see him at the Metropole Cafe when I was 16 years old. I used to try to stick my head between the arms of the biggest bouncer you've ever seen in your life, and he would say, get away kid, and I used to hang out there, and Henry Gold Rich from Manny's Music was always pushing me towards Jimmy. To this very day, I use the wah-wah pedal on stage that I bought the very day that I last saw him alive, and before he went to England. And I ran after him, and Manny's going, hey, Jimmy, and he jumped in a cab, and he was gone. And I said, Henry, what did he buy? He said, you missed him again, didn't you? And I said, about eight times I missed him. But I used to watch him play a regular club date in the Metropole Cafe, which was a topless bar right on Broadway, 47th Street, right around the corner, right there. It's a gentleman's bar still. But they had go-go dancers and the whole deal, and he was in there playing. I remember seeing him. And, well, he went back to his funky days when he was playing those kind of things and playing R&B standards.
Sure.
Axis Bold and Love is a wonderful hit being in the studio. So one of those two. Also, Gaucho by Steely Dan, which I think is the closest thing to art that music can be. Other people say it's Asia, but if you listen to Gaucho, they got the horns right, they got the production right, and the tunes, even Gaucho, the lyrics, everything is so strong in that record. And then there's one more record that I would take. And that would be Swing It Lightly, which is a record completed after Django Reinhardt's death in 1952, the year I was born. And the Hot Club, of Hot Guitar Club of France, they arranged, instead of horns, they put guitars, five guitars playing parts, and played it behind him. So you get a sense of how they wanted to honor and wrap what he's doing on these early recordings that he never got a chance to complete with their guitars. But then there are sections where they don't play, and you hear the original recording of the upright piano. Sounds like it's in the corner of a room. It's his guitar sound, obviously, and he's ripping. And the other reason why I would have it is because the story of Django was that he was a child prodigy violinist. He played for the Crown Heads of Europe, and in a tragic fire, he lost control of his hand, use of his hand, because it was burned, and they were going to take his whole hand off. And what happened was these two fingers were fused, and his mother, they were gypsies, so they were treated very poorly. And so they were just going to lop his hand off. She said no. So he ended up with two working fingers, and these two fingers fused on his left hand, on his fretting hand. And he had all the knowledge of a violinist, virtuosity of a violinist at an early age, at the age of 12. And in his convalescence, he taught himself how to play guitar. He learned the same music that he played on violin, developed his own chord forms, he developed all these things, and he's an inspiration to me.
I want to thank you so much for coming down.
My pleasure, my pleasure. And thank you so much for all of you for supporting live music wherever you see it. Thank you.
Wow, fantastic.